Being a guest on the Midweek Drive is more than a privilege, an honour, or a life-changing experience. Somehow it's a combination of all three, and an affirmation of one's commitment to excellence in broadcasting. And that goes double for you, dear listener.
Still trying to work out.
The Midweek Drive, each Wednesday at 5 p.m. on Siren 107.3 FM. Lincoln's gift to the world.
Malcolm Thomas does it all the time. I'm just trying to work out why Simon Cowell would want to actually set up a new programme to seek out good quality dinner jackets. It's a different line there. Still, that's Simon Cowell. He does all sorts of things. Good afternoon, Katie Grimerson. How are you, Katie?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent. Already excited to have watched the entirety of The Saint Steps in which a scientist's revolutionary formula started a chain reaction involving his beautiful daughter, some dangerous criminals, and the saint. Well, the beautiful daughter, of course, played by Annette Andre. Good afternoon, Tiffany Freeman. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, thank you.
You, of course, were given the colour edition of The Saint to actually do as your prep for this afternoon.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
I found it really good. I watched it with my boyfriend. It was quite funny. And it was really, yeah, I liked it.
A kind of rom-com. A rom-com for the 21st century. It's genius from that point of view. As I say, when you have Annette portraying a French person with an Australian actor in America, you've got all sorts of things there. Natalie Tuck. How are you today, Natalie?
I'm good, but I feel like I'm letting the side down because Tiffany and Katie are sat here with loads
Natalie,
of notes
Natalie,
and I've left
you,
mine at home.
Yeah, you can never lay the side down you just by being here.
Okay,
it's important.
Thank
it's
you,
right.
Alex.
Yes, very much. And hello to James Barclay. How are you, James? Your first show of 2012.
First show 2012 and three pretty ladies sitting beside me.
That's and good. A fourth absolutely drop-dead gorgeous individual from upstate New York. Isn't that right, Annette Andre?
Well, I hope it's right.
Yes.
I like to hear that.
It's very, very important. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about The Saint in a few moments, but I know your topic for January's letter from America, or letter Annette Andre's letter from upstate New York, as it's formally entitled. Last month, James, Annette had a sensational line about the American election series and the whole setup with respect to talk French and Mitt and Newt and Newt and Mitt, and very confusing, a bit like Sooty and Sweep, really. And that had such prescience. This time round, she's talking about electronics. And I know you like your electronics, don't you, James?
I'm not really electronic minded.
So I think I have a sense you might bond with this. Annette, share with us the January letter from upstate New York. It's all about electronics.
Okay. Well, I live with a dinosaur called Arthur. He's my husband, who learned to fly in a canvas and wood-framed 1939 airplane. And for years and years, he wore his Loden coat from his college days until the pockets literally fell off. Mind you, I didn't know him back then, but anyway. Day in and day out, he drove his 1959 Porsche until hell wouldn't have it. And he's earned his living as a television writer and producer behind the keyboard of a 1927 Underwood typewriter. Needless to say, he's computer illiterate. I list these retro credits because, although spending a good many years of our marriage resisting his entrenched view, though with a few exceptions, the 21st century pales in comparison to the last go-round. I have reluctantly come to the conclusion that he just may be right in a few key areas worthy of a rant. What ignited my growing awareness was a radio commercial for the new Broadway production of Death of a Salesman that commanded that the listener obey the directive, attention must be paid. Of course, that bit of dialogue famously refers to Willie Loman, the aging salesman of Arthur Miller's play. When Miller wrote that line in the 1940s, he never imagined that these many years later, millions and millions of people around the world would demand the same attention through a maze of electronic devices. In the play, Mrs. Loman is admonishing her two sons and the audience not to dismiss Willie's worth as a father and human being after a lifetime of striving for success and now worn down by age and a changing world. I've come to agree with my dinosaur that today's voices clamoring for attention on Facebook and YouTube claim that status as a birthright, recognition based solely on existence. I am special because I want to be. How else to explain the young actress Ben Brantley, who is a New York Times theater critic, wrote about in a recent column? For a solid week, she phoned to harangue Brantley for not mentioning her in a review, much less how well she played her part. Well, Brantley pointed out that her role as a ghost without any lines lasted less than 30 seconds on stage. Well, that's not the point, she contested. What she needed was a favourable mention in the Times so she could show producers. Well, she deserved that much at the very least. But the deepest disconnect between this century and the last, Arthur and I do agree, is the shocking loss of thinking as a major brain function. Thinking, the silent, solitary act of using the mind to assess, conjure, contemplate, resolve, and relate, among many other functions, seems to have been replaced by a search engine for just about everything. Need to write a term paper or research a subject for a business report? Oh, just punch up Wikipedia and Bob's your uncle. What does it matter that the site's riddled with misinformation provided by battalions of the unwashed? It's free, fast, and beats waiting for the library to open. In a retrograde nod to the ancient Egyptians, we're fast replacing the written word with pictographs, all variations of reality in the abstract. The only thing missing from this apocalyptic picture is an app for a man parading up and down with a sign reading, "The end is near." But maybe not. For those who can afford it, there is relief from the constant thunder of thumbed tweets, cell phone babble, and 24/7 texting. Overlooking the Pacific Ocean on the glorious Big Sur, California coastline is the Post Ranch, one of a growing number of high-end travel destinations dedicated to temporarily relieve the anxiety of the electronically obsessed. For $2,285 a night, you're totally free from connection to Wi-Fi, TV, radio, and television. Telephones. In return for that hefty sum, you get silence along with your private hot tub. And from the length of their waiting list, it just might be what the doctor ordered. And there we are. That's
genius.
My tube of electronics.
Genius. So $2,835 a night, so roughly speaking, it's about £1,400 a night, and you get a hot tub and no sort of communications devices whatsoever.
No, well, you can mix with the other people who are there. You can talk, you can think.
Talk?
You can eat dinner, you can do all talk.
Talk!
And
but how can you give face? How can you give face and tweet if you... Good grief, dear me.
I know. How can they not... Oh, my goodness.
And an application for the End of the World. An End of the World app. All right, let's throw
it... I have to tell you that I only got a computer about 6 years ago. And I've only just recently got myself a cell phone, which I always forget to turn on or turn off. And I only keep it in my bag as a sort of, an emergency situation thing.
That's where it starts. It's a slippery slope, Annette.
iPhones or iPads or anything like that.
But at least we managed to connect via telepathy and all those other routines, and we can go online and see the Annette André perspective.
Telepathy is a good one.
It is. I think so. Let's throw it to the student, Natalie Tuck. I mean, you were facing like there's nobody businesses. I mean, I won't even go into what we're saying, but don't worry. You know, all I will say is, and this is in deference to the fact you actually gave that lecture, remember, he was actually asked to leave his former employment and is no longer there, so he might be just a little bit bitter about that. That's all I will say.
Who's that?
Oh, no, I'm catching on.
it's somebody who was actually giving a very negative lecture to some of our journalist students, and I'm thinking if you actually motivate why or find the motivation for that, I think I can maybe understand where he's come from a little bit there. But anyway, Natalie, what are your thoughts on Annette's January letter?
I do agree that the younger generation especially, we spend far too much time on our iPhones and iPads and computers, but the ranch where you can go to, it does sound like it's cashing in on that. I mean, you could just get a tent and go camp in the local woods.
Right. That's the thought.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But anyway.
That's a key point. Tiffany.
Yeah, to be fair, when I do go on holiday abroad, I don't have any signal on my phone anyway, and you have to pay to use the computers, and I'd rather be like sunbathing or something. So technology's not always like.
Can you not get an application to sell you sunbathing these days? Or sunbathing app?
Oh, unfortunately not.
No, it's virtual sunbathing.
But yeah, I do agree we're getting lazy with all the new technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you don't just use Wikipedia for your essays and just sort of. No, I should hope not to.
I take trips to the library.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, that's good. Very happy with you. That's
yeah. In fact, Natalie's taken trips down to the British Library in London.
I've travelled a long way to a library.
From Lincoln to London.
And it's lovely. Isn't it lovely? I love it. Mm.
It's
love
silent
the
there, you see, and it's free.
Genius. Katie.
I liked the comment about that you don't think much now. You can just type whatever you want into a search engine, and I think we have got kind of lazy.
Research.
Yes. You know, it's even I have come to discover that really and truly there's not enough thinking going on or working it out for yourself. I have to say that Arthur is always going on about the GPS thing in the car, about finding your way. I have to say, I haven't got one, but I would like one because I spent, all the years of my life reading maps, stopping, trying to work out the one-way system somewhere, trying to work out how to get from A to Z all over the world. And that was great fun, but I could do with a GPS now.
Well, we'll set up a sort of campaign to get a satellite navigation system for Annette Andre. Could be a title for an autobiography. James Barclay, what are your thoughts on Annette's...
I found it absolutely fascinating, but when you're talking about trying to find your way about with the GPS system and all that, I suppose because I'm a countryman, I actually love finding my way by looking out for landmarks and various places which have been part of my life and going far that way rather than even looking at a map. But I think we have lost very much our thinking process. We do rely on these electronic gadgets far too much. And I've got two mobile phones sitting beside me. I have them there. And I'm guilty as anybody. But I do feel that we are... Too much reliant on it, and yes, in emergencies are wonderful,
we're not arguing we should be
emergencies
going.
Emergencies, and what I object to is being in a boutique or a restaurant or on a bus or something like that, and someone's telling someone on the phone in a very loud voice their life story, their sex lives, everything else.
Do you know? I actually had confession time here. Actually, Annette, I was in a store today in Lincoln, a mobile phone store. I won't mention any names, but it has a letter that comes somewhere between S and U in terms of the title. And you know, I was sort of waiting duly in the whole routine, and then somebody actually came into the store, and then jumped ahead of the queue and then started actually telling basically their life story to the whole thing, going through exactly that procedures. And it was just time was tight. I said, look, I'm sorry, I don't have time to listen to other folks' life stories. I'm going. I just wanted to actually get £10 on the phone. That's all, you know, end of.
Exactly.
I wasn't me being impatient. Oh, he was upset. He could tell us, oh, how rude. I didn't want to go and have a debate about the whole thing. Just relax about the whole perspective. Let's move on to more happier, even more sort of wonderful routines. Tiffany, you said you watched the Saint episode with, of course, Roger Moore in glorious full colour, etc., To Kill a Saint, in which Annette Andre obviously portrays the French person who is going to kill Simon. What did you make of it? Obviously, you watched it with your boyfriend, so, you know, how did it work for yourself?
We thought it was quite cheesy.
Cheesy?
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, it was interesting. There was a lot of storylines going on.
This was Shakespearean stuff Annette Andre was producing in the 60s, for goodness sakes. Cheesy.
No, because it's different, like... humour now, kind of. The music and stuff.
It
was. I liked it. I really did.
All right. Marks out of 10.
We watched the other one as well.
You watched the other one. We're going to have a Saint Aficionado routine. And as I said, I thought Katie might have actually sort of been a little bit, because obviously Katie got the black and white episode, The Saint Steps In, as we said. And you would have redrafted that whole scenario, wouldn't you, Katie? I mean, you said actually you would have liked to have seen Annette's character as the beautiful scientist's daughter. Actually, and Justine Lord, obviously, who was the femme fatale, sort of, wasn't that. What were your thoughts on The Saint Steps In?
I thought it was similar to James Bond. Mm. Not just because, like, Roger Moore's in it, but the whole story.
So you had the poison gas, you had all sorts of things.
The only difference was that back then, as an actress, we weren't allowed, really, to participate a lot. I mean, we were there for as a decoration more than anything. Instead of being, you know, involved in the action, which it eventually happened with the Avengers, of course, and in the series Randall and Hopkirk, which I did, in parts of it I became more involved, but still not enough.
I did notice.
Over the years, of course, it's gotten quite different.
I did notice, Annette, a fair number of costume changes into Killer Saint. I mean, I think I saw about sort of 7 or 8 costume changes.
Oh, yeah, I liked the outfits. I did.
Outfits were good. You see, this is
they were cute.
I used to work with the wardrobe people on those because I had very definite ideas about, you know, what I wanted. When they were loved, they were very good with me because they understood about the things and quite honestly. You know, if you didn't have anything else to do, why not change your clothes?
Well, that's what I say every time doing one of these shows. Look, you know, it gets a bit boring. Just change our clothes. That's all we do. It's quite simple. There's a little booth there. Sort the thing through. Always very important. We'll actually ask Lisa McAllister. She'll be joining us in the second hour of the production about that, how she feels about it. Well, just change your clothes, Lisa. You know, that's how you get in FHM magazine.
Exactly.
Change your clothes. Cameron Tilby will be live from Nashville shortly. We'll hopefully be going live to Fiona Hardingham in a few moments. Natalie, any last questions you want to put to Annette Andre, who's obviously the phones are going, all sorts of things are happening here. Oh, actually, we've got one important thing. We need to sort of work through this. I set James this little task. We are still looking for a title for the Annette Andre autobiography.
Oh, yes.
We're rolling this out.
Well, I was thinking, but I'm afraid I'm...
I'm glad you were, James.
Yeah. Yes, I've been trying to put...
I don't like unthinking farmers.
But I'm afraid I haven't come up with anything yet. I did find your letter absolutely incredibly interesting, and thank you for that.
Well, so
thank you very much.
Well, so it's positive about that. Natalie, anything that springs to mind? What should we call Annette Andre's autobiography? You're going to work on that.
Yeah.
We're going to put the team... And Tiffany, anything that springs to mind?
Can I mention the Golden Age in it, something?
The Golden Age... The Golden Age.
It was the Golden Age of television, so that's a thought.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, Katie?
They'll all go into the melting pot.
Yeah, well,
so far, I just haven't found one. So
it'll be there.
I need help. The book is coming on and doing quite well.
One of two books, of course, because I fully anticipate you actually having the written version of these letters as well coming out as well, Annette. So, you know, it's two books written at the same time. Splendid.
Oh, my God, I haven't thought of that.
That's always there.
The word fortune came into it, and I thought maybe somehow fortune could be brought in.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
fortune?
Yeah, fortune. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to think about those. Fortune
Annette. Oh, sorry. Never mind. Natalie, last two questions, please.
Annette, have you enjoyed your telephonic conversation with us this evening?
Oh, yes. I always do. I really look forward to this. It's great fun, and you know, as you go on doing it, it becomes sort of easier and more. I feel as though I'm a bit more in the studio chatting with everybody instead of on the end of a phone. So that's really good.
Even suggesting programming ideas with, of course, Arthur Weingarten, who will hopefully be joining us as well shortly, possibly getting an American conference call together. Ooh, that's exciting,
yeah.
Some of our American
fun,
correspondents on conference call. It's genius. Next question, Natalie.
Can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future, Annette?
Through this, you mean?
Yes. I don't think we're going to be flying over to see you in upstate New York in the near future, but, you know, it's a possibility.
I certainly hope so. I mean, the next time I am in England, I'm not too sure this year when that'll be. I'm hoping that maybe I can get up there and meet everybody, which would be lovely.
There we are, Annette Andre in the house, to use the vernacular. You know, wonderful.
I could take you farming for the day.
Yep, please, steady. There's only so much we'll actually go for this point of view. Annette Andre will return.